Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we bring the meeting to order, I want to congratulate Mayor-elect Sam Adams, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner-elect Nick Fish, and we look forward to the November election of the final commissioner so we can have a full and complete commission once again. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I would like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 651, request of Mark Lakeman to address Council regarding the city repair project. He called and is not able to make it.
Okay.
652, request of Art Ludwig to address Council regarding state graywater regulations and legalizing sustainability in Portland. He will also not be able to make it.
Okay.
653, request of John Higginbotham to address Council regarding the levels of force available to police.
Could you please call his name again?
John Higginbotham.
Call the next.
654, request of Chris Knutson to address Council regarding the rights of homeless youth in Portland. Chris Knutson.
Please call the next.
655, request of Jamie Schofield to address Council regarding speaking my mind.
Okay. Is that it?
That's all the communications.
Okay, there will be no consent agenda with only three commissioners present. So that'll be, I'm not even sure, is it next week do we have still have three or do we have?
No, we don't, not until the 4th of June.
The 4th of June, okay. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 656, Portland Rose Festival Association update.
I'd like to invite Jeff Curtis, the Executive Director of the Portland Rose Festival Association, and Mark McGeer, president of the Portland Rose Festival Association. And with them, they have the Rose Festival Court, who they'll be introducing shortly.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, fellow commissioners. Jeff Curtis, executive director. I just want to thank you for your time this morning. But I really want to deliver a couple messages. We're really going to give you a preview of the Rose Festival this morning. But before we do that, a couple things that are important to the organization. It takes more than just your leadership to produce the festival itself. It's the bureaus that you represent and that you lead. Numerous examples exist that are just tremendous partnerships. Our partnership with the Parks Bureau to allow us to take the parks and to work with the Parks Bureau to really produce our special event, specifically transportation, their efforts on the streets. Our maintenance bureau with our cleanest and greenest program, cleaning up the environment, our parade program. The revenue bureau getting us the permits that we need and the licenses to produce the festival. And most recently, the Bureau of Development Services and working with the parade amenities. Really a tremendous partnership. I really want to compliment that bureau itself for taking the lead on that role itself. Before we get into the preview of the festival that Mark's going to deliver, I want to talk a few numbers with you. Share some the festival by the numbers. Number 61. 61 events will take place between now and the end of the festival itself. 2 million, an estimated 2 million people will participate or actually see Rose Festival events between now and the end of the festival. 95% to 100%. That's the estimated downtown hotel occupancy during the Rose Festival itself, specifically Grand Flow Parade weekend. $70 million. That's the estimated economic impact of the Portland Rose Festival. $3.6 million. That's our annual budget. We produced this festival as a gift to our community on it with a budget as a nonprofit of $3.6 million, and it returns an economic impact of about $70 million. 501c3, starting this year, the Rose Festival will be produced under a new 501c3 full charitable foundation organization called the Portland Rose Festival Foundation. And 313 toilets will be on the parade route this year. Prior to this year, we have not had those kind of amenities. It's a tremendous gift, and we appreciate it. 313 toilets will be placed along the parade route for our citizens.
Excellent.
This time, I want to turn it over to our president. I work with a great board of directors. Mark McGurr leads the board this year. Tremendous leader, tremendous citizen, and he's going to give you a preview of this year's festival itself.
Thank you, Jeff. Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm truly pleased to be before you here as president of the Portland Roast Festival, continuing my family tradition of service to the Roast Festival since 1912 with my grandfather. Our 2008 festival, the first of the next century, will continue to have all of our traditions of the past and the promise of the future with several new events, a few of which I'll describe to you today. Well, first, and close to my heart, is our Regent's Grand Floral Walk, which is an example of our commitment to a healthy lifestyle event. And we're pleased to start that this year, and it will take place immediately after the Queen's coronation on Saturday, June 7th, and immediately prior to the start of the Grand Floral Parade. We're going to have 2,000 people walking with a band and some entertainment along either 2 miles of the Grand Floral route or the entire 4.2 miles. And one of the exciting things is our partner Regents and the Portland Roast Festival will be giving back a significant portion of the entry proceeds to the Dougie Center, Crisis Center for Children and Families. I have the honor of leading off the parade, which will present a little bit of a challenge because I've got to walk part of the parade, or it's part of the walk, and then I have to get whisked back to the start of the Grand Floral Parade to get my ride to ride in the parade, but that will be a fun and honor for me. And, you know, we're having groups that are joining forces to walk in the first inaugural Grand Floral Walk, so I would invite the City of Portland to put a team together and show the city's colors. Next, a great, exciting development for our waterfront village down along the waterfront. For 11 days, we're going to have one of the latest and greatest dinosaur exhibits that's going to inhabit the park, and it's called Dinosaurs Jurassic Journey. It's a 10,000-square-foot exhibit. Pretty huge, where we're going to have an interactive program for children and families there that will just be stupendous, and it will be an event that children and families would not want to miss. We will have our three incredible parades, starting with the Starlight Parade, our Illuminated Parade, on Saturday, May 31st, and then continuing with the oldest and largest junior parade on Wednesday, June 4th, and culminating in our fantastic Grand Floral Parade on Saturday, June 7th. A few things about our feature and highlight event, the Grand Floral Parade, I wanted to let you know about. Well, this year, our theme is Romancing the Rose. And after the city of Portland and the community fell in love with the Rose Festival all over again, we're continuing that romance. And to do that in our Grand Floral Parade, we've got a few little tricks up our sleeves. One of our floats will actually have three couples renewing their vows while they're going down the parade route. So I think that's pretty cool. And also, for the first time, our parade will be broadcast in high definition. So that's an exciting development, high definition TV. I don't know. I think we'll have to have a makeup artist for me touch up some of those things. Also, for the first time, the curtains in the Coliseum will be drawn up. And I didn't even know we had curtains in the Coliseum. But immediately after the Queen's coronation, the curtains will rise. And for the first time, the people that are in the Coliseum watching the parade, the best seat in the house, it'll be like daylight with vistas of the city, actually seeing the parade go down the out onto Martin Luther King Boulevard, and views of Mount Hood. So that will be a fantastic development for us. And I'm proud to say again, once we have our Grand Marshal, will be Brandon Roy of the Portland Trailblazers, one of our great citizens here in the city, and a great role model for youth and families. And with that, I mean, Saturday, June 7th will end up being the largest event day in the Northwest ever, with a combination of the Queen's coronation, the Grand Floral Walk, the Grand Floral Parade, and our wonderful dragon boat races going on all day long down on the river. So I truly am excited about the Rose Festival personally, a long family tradition, and it's going to be a tremendous festival, and I think it's going to be sunny on Saturday, June 7th. At least somebody guarantees that for me. But again, I'm very, very excited about it, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark. You just heard about the event, a lot of the events itself, but there's one particular piece of the festival that's brand new. The Rose Festival is continuing to evolve itself and to really do things unique and different within our industry and provide a gift to our citizens. And this year, we're proud to introduce a program called our Character Clown Corps. This is where everyday citizens had a chance to sign up and potentially register to be a clown. And we have a couple of them with us today.
Rose,
presenting a small gift to our appreciation. Special duct tape.
It's a duct tape rose.
Oh, it's a duct tape.
Commissioner Leonard, we'll have a chance to give some of these away on the parade route on Friday night. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Our clown corps, everyday citizens, had a chance to become clowns, and we actually. They signed up through a program that we created. We interviewed them and selected citizens to become clowns. They went to clown school, and they're ready to be entertaining the public on the ground floor of the parade, as well as you're going to see them a lot around town. And this is the first year of what will be hopefully many years of Clown Corps participants. It will be a new Rose Festival tradition. We're really excited about our Character Clown Corps.
That's great.
Well, at this time, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our wonderful and talented and extremely bright 2008 Rose Festival Court. That was a presentation for the council.
Welcome to City Council.
Hello. We are the 2008 Rose Festival Court, and we would like to introduce ourselves and give you a preview of this year's Rose Festival. Rose.
Hello. I am Rose from Benson. I enjoy reading, writing, and wakeboarding. I plan to become a physician and someday street underprivileged. Why am I blanking for the city council? I believe in good health care, and the Rose Festival also believes in taking care of the environment. Instead of why? Did you know that the Rose Festival has been named the cleanest and greenest festival for over a decade? It is all thanks to our parade cleanup program in partnership with PG&E Solve and the city.
Tanita.
Hello, my name's Tanita, and I'm from Wilson High School. I was captain of my school's cheerleading squad, and now I'm currently part of the Wilson Cheer coaching staff. I plan to study fashion and hope to become a very successful entrepreneur someday. I was also recently voted best dressed by my senior class. The Portland Rose Festival is also the best. We are the best festival in the world, according to the International Festival and Events Association. We are proud to say we are selected over other great festivals, such as the Kentucky Derby Festival, and the Pasadena Tournament of Roses.
Chelsea.
Hello, I'm Chelsea from Jefferson High School. I volunteer with elementary and middle school kids at Self-Enhancement and have a passion for writing, singing, and I'm interested in screenwriting and apparel design. Speaking of design, all floats in the Key Bank Grand Floral Parade are creatively designed to use all floral and natural materials. This year's parade theme is Romancing the Rose, and will bloom to life on Saturday, June 7th, or you can catch it live on KGW News Channel 8.
Dulce.
Hello, I'm Dulce from Roosevelt High School. I've played soccer for my school's varsity team for 3 years, and I am interested in a health career. In my free time, I like to volunteer for my community, read, dance, and clown around with my friends. If your inner clown is calling you, you will be entertained with the Rose Festival's newest program, The Character Clown Corps. Every day, Portlanders will learn how to become professional entertainers, NBA participants, and the world-renowned KeyBank Grand Floral Parade.
V!
Hello, I'm V from Park Rose. I'm student council vice president at my school, participate in the Spanish club, and have been on the honor roll for the past 4 years. In the future, I plan to pursue a career in veterinary medicine. I don't think I'll be able to study dinosaurs in school, but at least the kids can learn all about them at this year's WAMU Waterfront Village. Jurassic Joe will take you on a prehistoric adventure with lifelike replicas for 20 different dinosaurs. Don't forget about all the fantastic rides and food, too. It all happens May 29th through June 8th at Portland's Waterfront Park.
Marshawna!
Hello, I'm Marshawna from Cleveland. I plan to attend the University of Portland and pursue a degree in engineering. At my school, I'm student body vice president and the co-president of the Black Student Union. For fun, I love to write poetry and babysit all the neighborhood kids. And if you like kids too, you won't want to miss the world-famous Fred Meyer Jr. Parade. Thousands of little ones will march down Sandy Boulevard in the Hollywood District on June 4th.
Taylor!
Hello, I'm Taylor from Grant. My future goals include studying constitutional law, becoming a practicing lawyer, and one day possibly running for office. I'm associated with Habitat for Humanity, Self-Enhancement Incorporated, and the Pamplin Leadership Program. In my free time, I love to spend time with my family and friends. Today, you get to meet my new family, the 2008 Rose Festival Corps. And on Saturday, June 7th, right before the KeyBank Grand Floral Parade, one of us outstanding young ladies will become the Rose Festival Queen at Pacific Power Queen's Coronation. So come watch it all unfold at the Memorial Coliseum and support the city's newest queen.
Diamond!
Hello, everybody. I'm Diamond from Franklin High School. I'm a member of the Franklin High School Leadership Program and have been very active and dedicated to my school's mock trial and constitutional law programs. I plan to receive a Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology and then proceed to law school. In my spare time, I love to learn and read. Last month in April, over 800 third graders were granted the wonderful opportunity to learn about the history of Portland and the Rose Festival through our Living History Program and special curriculum. This lifelike presentation captures the imagination of all who view it and features the mother of the Rose Society, Georgiana Pittock, and the father of the Rose Festival, Mary Harry Lane.
Monica!
Hello, I'm Monica from Central Catholic, and I hope to one day join the Peace Corps and then become a journalist. Currently, I am the vice president of the National Honor Society, editor-in-chief of my school newspaper, and I was a co-captain on the varsity soccer team. I love to travel, bake, and shop at local vintage stores. Portland also has a great number of vintage homes and gardens that will be part of the History and Roses walking tour presented by Windermere. It showcases vintage homes, gardens, and landmarks. Each location has its own historical significance or tradition to the Rose Festival and offers a glimpse of early Portland life back when the Rose Festival was young.
Brenda!
Hello, my name is Brenda Olmos from Daredevils High School. I love to garden and I also enjoy listening to Musica Latina and I hope to one day major in biochemistry and get a minor in public affairs. I also enjoy participating in National Honor Society and planning coaching soccer. If you like sports like I do, then don't miss this year's Rose Cup races presented by Temp Control Mechanical Corporation. These are the best amateur races in the area, and the race into town, May 30th through June 1st at the Portland International Raceway.
Jill!
Hi, I'm Jill from Madison. I participate in cheerleading, track, and cross council at my school. I love art, snowboarding, and plan to major in general science pre-dental because I love smiles. Come see all the smiling faces at Portland General Electric Stall Starlight Parade. This wacky all illuminated parade features some of the area's greatest marching bands, community floats, and special entries. It will light up the night on the streets of downtown Portland Saturday, May 31st, or watch it live on KGW News Channel 8.
Taylor!
Hi, I'm Taylor from St. Mary's Academy. I enjoy traveling, exploring new restaurants, and I'm an associated student body officer at my school. I've also started my own charity and raised over $7,000 to supply educational materials to students in need. The Rose Festival believes in charity as well and is now a full-fledged foundation. Our foundation focuses on youth, education, volunteerism, and our historical heritage. Look for ways to support the Portland Rose Festival Foundation throughout this year's Rose Festival.
Kim.
Hi, I'm Kim from Marshall. I plan to attend the University of Puget Sound, and I hope to study pre-med. I have volunteered for many local projects through Hands on Portland, and I also enjoy tennis, soccer, and going to concerts. The concert you don't want to miss is this year's Rose Festival concert at the park. You will love this extravaganza of all sorts of bands, and it features the popular One More Time Around Again marching band, presented by Standard TV and Time. Don't miss the excitement. It happens on Friday, June 6th at PG Park.
Molly.
Hello, I'm Molly from Lincoln. I hope to one day become a writer, and I plan to major in English. I'm Mick, president and founder of the Irish Club at my school.
Nice.
Volunteer for Hurricane Relief on the Gulf Coast, and love the Boston Red Sox. Other community activities I enjoy are local walks, including the Walk for Diabetes, the AIDS Walk, and the Breast Cancer Walk. Please, join 2,000 others and walk where roses tread. The hottest new walk in town is the Regent's Grand Floral Walk. This newest Rose Festival event comes complete with throngs of adoring fans along the route of the Grand Floral Parade just minutes before it hits the streets on Saturday, June 7th.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, nice.
Excellent.
What a great group of young women, future leaders of this community.
Mr. Saltzman, on behalf of the Rose Festival Corps, we'd like to give you this
autographed
poster of us.
Thank you very much.
Chocolate.
Oh, that's always appreciated. In my office, yes.
And our pin, this means you are now part of our family.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. I'm very honored.
Have you got one?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. The Rose Festival does a beautiful job of promoting not just Portland, but our state. And it also allows young people, such as our court, to really show the kind of youth that we have here in Portland and the great future that Portland will enjoy because of people like that. So thank you so much, and I look forward to the parades, and I look forward to the different events. Thank you. And is there a website for those as well?
Yes, rosefestival.org, everything you need to know about the Rose Festival.
There you go. Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's no council action required. We'll let these ladies depart. Good to see you, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Please read the 9:45 time, sir.
Item 657, revised sewer and drainage rates and charges in accordance with the fiscal year 2008-2009 sewer user rate study and establish a single, consolidated, and comprehensive schedule of rates and charges administered by the Bureau of Environmental Services.
Morning.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of the council, Dean Marriott, Environmental Services Director. With me is Jim Hagerman, our Business Services Director. What a tough act to follow.
Yes.
We've provided you with some handouts. I'm going to walk fairly quickly through this presentation. I know you have to you have to hear from the PERB, and then certainly we'll be available to answer questions. We're proposing rates that will fund the operation and maintenance of the wastewater and stormwater utilities for Portland. We also, of course, protect the surface water quality and are busy and actively involved with restoration of our watershed health. These rates will raise the funds necessary to continue support for the Combined Sewer Overflow Abatement Program, which is on schedule for completion in December of 2011. And that date used to sound like a long way off, but it's getting closer every day. It continues our commitment to maintenance and reconstruction of our sewer infrastructure. It continues the funding for the Portland Harbor Remediation Investigation Feasibility Study and begins funding of our Greater Green Initiative to further restore and enhance watershed health. turn the page to the revenue requirements. Projected expenditures are $247 million, just under $100 million for operation and maintenance of the utility, including wastewater treatment and collection system, watershed protection and restoration, pollution prevention activities, the Portland Harbor Superfund that I mentioned earlier, and services interagency agreements with other agencies of city government. Also included are $130 million for debt service and cash financing for our capital construction program, and $20 million needed to pay the utility license fee and for other fund transfers. This is less of non-rate revenues. We do have some non-rate revenues that total about $37 million, including from SDC revenues, and we are moving money in from the Rate Stabilization Fund, which was established just for this purpose. So that yields a rate requirement of $210 million. Turn the page to page three, capital program requirements. They really remain the driving force behind the revenue requirements. Our five-year capital improvement program is $677 million, almost $400 million of which are for the CSO control program, $123 million for maintenance and reliability, $162 million for wastewater treatment facilities, surface water management, which is watershed restoration, and the sewer extension program, including the new program which you approved just in December, the party sewer conversion projects, which will help people who have discovered they are on a party sewer with their neighbor fix that problem. The proposed rates, they are consistent with the rates we identified in our financial plan, 5.7% bill increase for a typical residential customer in Portland. The sanitary sewer rate increases for a typical family are shown here, as well as the stormwater increases. The Portland Harbor Superfund charges actually do drop from $1.51 to $1.22. The customers who have signed up for the stormwater discount, the Clean River Rewards program, will see a slightly lower increase because they're continuing to reap the benefits for that program. We're closing in on 35,000 families that have signed up, so it's a pretty impressive commitment by Portlanders to do what they can on their property to help us with the stormwater management issues. On page five is actually a chart of the current and the proposed rates, so you can see we don't have a single rate, of course. We have a whole collection of rates, residential sanitary sewer volume rates, stormwater management rates, the low-income discount. They're all shown here for you. Some are up more than the 5.7. Some are up much less than that. The Portland Harbor Superfund charges actually are declining, so the net out is at the bottom. Typical monthly residential bill increases at 5.7%. On the next page is a chart. We always like to show where we stack up nationally and regionally as far as sewer and stormwater charges are concerned. We've marked this chart to show the cities that are dealing with combined sewer overflow construction projects. And as you can see, we are still on the high side of the chart, but there are many cities that are moving past us. Corvallis and Boston are below us, but they are pretty close to finish. Corvallis is definitely finished, and Boston is wrapping up their CSO program. So, again, it goes to show the cities that move more quickly, get the work done, can do so at a cost that will end up being less expensive than those cities that are not yet complete. So we are fortunate that in just a few years we will be finished. Many of these communities shown here, for instance, Cincinnati, which now is well below us, Knoxville, Tennessee, they are just beginning their CSO abatement programs, so they will move up the chart quite rapidly. And the next page shows a few other charges also involved in this rate ordinance. Systems development charges are proposed to increase 8% for sanitary sewer system, and stormwater SDC increase proposed at 6%. Land use review and development fees are proposed to increase at 4%. Line and branch charges, these are the fees charged to people who are hooking up to the system for the first time. These have been charged at below cost for many years. We're now proposing to increase those to move closer to the actual cost of service. And the final page on the handout is a comparative chart, again, to show where we stand in relation to other communities as far as systems development charges. I know this is always of interest to be sure we're remaining competitive in the field, and although we are proposing to increase them, our relative standing compared to other cities doesn't change. And that really is the overview of the rate ordinance and presentation. Be happy to answer any questions you have now, or I will be glad to stay and come back up if you have any questions later.
I had a question about the age of the sewer system, pipes and so forth. Is that a factor in terms of the difference? You know, I was looking at some of the lower rates around Oregon. Is that has to do with size or age of the system? What affects the difference between us and Woodburn?
That's a great question, Mayor. The as you can imagine, the age of the different systems is quite different. Depends on when the city was urbanized. Portland sewers are much older than our wastewater treatment plant. Our wastewater treatment plant's just a little over 50 years old, but many of our sewers are over 100 years old because Portland was settled and urbanized fairly early, and so the more densely populated the area, the quicker they built sewers to get the waste essentially to the river system, which was a disposal system. So age is certainly a factor, and Portland has among the oldest sewers on the West Coast. As far as rates are concerned, the other major factor is what's the size of their capital program. How much additional growth have they had to incur, or how much repair and replacement are they doing, on what kind of a replacement schedule are they? And, of course, one of the biggest drivers for us since the mid-90s has been our CSO abatement program. So if a community does not have a CSO program, they are probably enjoying quite a bit lower rates than we are. In Oregon, basically, Corvallis, Astoria, and Portland are the three main cities that have CSO systems. So you could expect the sewer rates in those cities to be higher than perhaps their neighbors.
Other questions?
How many people did you say were enrolled in the stormwater discount?
We're closing in on 35,000 customers have signed up. So, all right. Well, thank you. We'll remain here in case you have any questions later.
Okay. Thank you. We have folks signed up to testify on this matter?
Yes, we do. We have the Utility Review Board, and then we have a couple other people. So the Utility Review Board.
Could you folks come forward from the Utility Review Board? Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name for the record. We're not going to time these folks. They're official city functions, so please proceed.
John Tyler with the Portland Utility Review Board.
Tracy Marks, also with the Portland Utility Review Board.
Mayor, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity for letting us present to you today, and thank you for the opportunity for letting us share our insights and recommendations. Paulette Rossi, the Portland Utility Review Board, or the PURB's chair, was unavailable today, so I'm the vice chair, and I'm here in her absence. Last week, our group met to finalize our comments, and I'll give an abbreviated version of those comments. You have the full text, I believe, in front of you, but in order to be brief, we thought we would just hit on the highlights that we've presented. So you'll see that there's one, a cover letter from Paulette Rossi, the chair, and then also the actual rate testimony. I'd like to remind you that our board has 9 seats. Currently, 2 of those are vacant, and we're seeking to fill them. But I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank all the Bureau staff that provided PURB with briefings and answered follow-up questions. And in particular, I'd like to thank the Office of Management and Finance, Bob Tomlinson in particular, and others. for their assistance in helping us through another year. This year, the Portland Utility Review Board made two philosophical recommendations that are not necessarily tied directly to the rates that are being proposed. Those are, briefly, that the average rate increase should be in line with current inflation and the cost of living increases. The other is that only projects that represent a clear, sharp peak in bureau spending can justify the added expense of bond financing. An example of this would be the combined sewer overflow project. Moving through the bureaus, our rate testimony for solid waste and recycling, our comments are that the City of Portland's residential portion of the Portland Recycled Plan that was adopted in 2007 anticipated a monthly increase of $2.60 across all customer classes, with an additional cost increase to cover the cost of the new roll carts. The total proposed rate for a 20-gallon can and a 32-gallon can is $3.60, and that's a 17% increase for fiscal year 2008 and 2009. We, the PERB, believe that this amount is high and that the Office of Sustainable Development should review its internal operations in an effort to find ways to mitigate for this rate increase. We also believe that the commercial tonnage fees, which are proposed to increase, should similarly be reviewed. Moving on to the Bureau of Environmental Services, the current budget request to pay for the CSO project is appropriate because it complies with the regulatory and legal requirements, and we hope that that complex multi-year project can continue to be well managed and meet its goals on time and on budget. The PERB believes that the city should continue to look for federal and state assistance for this project. We know that's been difficult over time, but we don't think that that effort should be forgotten. With regards to the Portland Harbor Fund, the PERB believes that the city should continue to pursue the identification of those responsible for pollution and work to hold them accountable for its cleanup. Watershed projects. The PERB advocates a two-pronged approach to watershed projects that will lead to meaningful environmental and social outcomes. First, improve surface water runoff treatment and filtration close to its source. And second, educate citizens about how their actions and behaviors can impact the watershed, which would shift us from a reactive to a proactive form of natural resource management. This next comment doesn't fit in line specifically with all the other budget proposals, but one of the items that we reviewed and we saw that City Hall is, there's a new roof replacement that's being proposed for City Hall. And we're curious to know if that cost would exceed $325,000. And we were uncertain whether this was a good expenditure when other public infrastructure, for example, the Union Station, may be in greater need of a new roof as compared to City Hall receiving a green roof as proposed in the budget. We also would like to comment on the Gray to Green and Green Streets initiatives. Combining Green Streets initiatives with the Gray to Green program should further improve on the positive rate impacts and cost savings to rate payers through encouraging city bureaus and departments to work together, treating stormwater on site, reducing the amount of stormwater flowing through the stormwater system that could extend the life of this expensive infrastructure, and meeting multiple policy objectives and compliance obligations through one set of actions. We also believe, with regards to debt funding savings, that debt funding savings should be used for rate relief, not to support existing or new activities or programs. Moving on to the proposed budget for the Water Bureau, the PERB believes that all hydro revenue should be used by the Water Bureau for rate relief, that the LT2 reserve account is not helpful and should not be funded in this budget cycle, that the open reservoir maintenance project should not be done this year, that the Bureau should be more conservative in its financial planning assumptions. The Bureau should seek cost savings in the Bull Run Dam 2 tower modifications. The Bureau should look for ways to speed up the Sandy River Conduit Crossing project. The Bureau should seek partnerships with property owners in the Sandy River Basin to mitigate the cost of the Habitat Conservation Plan. And the Bureau should study returning to block pricing to promote water conservation. And so that is the end of our testimony, and if you have any questions, we would be happy to answer them.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next two people are Andy Seaton and Tracy Marks. I'm sorry, he already spoke.
Tracy Marks?
Yeah, he just spoke.
Yeah, so. Just up.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. State your name when you speak. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. I can't offer my congratulations to Randy. He just left the room. So congratulations, Randy, anyway. I was looking through this, a couple of items. The presentation that was being delivered and with all of the numbers wasn't available to the public beforehand. I got a copy of the ordinances downstairs, but some of the numbers in here are a little hard to follow. And like I said, weren't laid out as nicely as I could kind of sort of see over the shoulder of the fellows making the presentation. So it makes it rather hard to make a comment about all of this. And again, just in general, I would like to say you folks are going to be seeing me until you repeal the sit-lie ordinance and stop criminalizing peaceful sit-ins and homelessness in the city. But to get more on topic here, a couple of items. The way the calculations are done, in particular looking at the costs of the equivalent, what is it here? What's the EDU, which is... I found it here a minute ago, equivalent dwelling units. It looks like the way they're calculating what the fee should be is taking the total cost of the system and then dividing it by the total capacity to end up with $3,520 per equivalent dwelling unit, and then kind of fudging factors from there for multi-unit homes and that sort of thing. And there's a couple of questionable items I have. In particular, the total cost is equal to the present value of the replacement cost, which for the sanitary items is an amazing $1 billion. But they also list a return on equity, which turns out to be 19% for the sanitary SDC calculations and 21% for the stormwater. And according to their description of what it should be, return on equity for the portions of the facilities constructed with ratepayer funds is the carrying cost for current and past ratepayers. The return on equity portion calculates simple interest foregone for each year's original project cost using each year's annual six-month treasury bill secondary market rate. And I don't think that the federal government is paying 19% on their treasury bills. It's more like 1% if we're lucky. So there are some serious questions about their calculations here. And also, there's a sort of an assumption that water in is equal to water out times some factor. I have a question is if I go to the trouble of putting together swales and other diversion processes and dry toilets and that sort of thing, I'm still going to be charged. The question I have is, am I still going to be charged the same amount as other folks in my neighborhood that aren't using green services? So some questions, and you'll be hearing more from me, I'm sure, until you guys change your mind. And thank you, Randy. Congratulations, Randy, now that you're back on your election. I must say I did vote for you. I appreciate anybody who says what they think and thinks what they say, and even though we are disagreeing on often on a lot of things.
Thank you.
At least I can give you a bathroom break as needed.
That it?
That's all the testimony.
Okay, it's not emergency. Moves to a second reading. Please read item 658.
Revised sewer and drainage rates and charges in accordance with the fiscal year 2008-2009 sewer user rate study and establish a single, consolidated, and comprehensive schedule of rates and charges administered by the Bureau of Environmental Services. I'm sorry. I just read that. Sorry. 658, revise residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges effective July 1, 2008.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the annual review of the residential solid waste and recycling rates. Because so many aspects factor into these rates, we work with an economist, a CPA, a recycling market consultant, and Portland State University in developing these rates. This rate review does propose an increase, namely because of fuel and labor cost and because of the new recycling and yard debris roll carts. Residents can offset these increases by switching to smaller garbage containers or by reducing their collection frequencies. Susan Anderson and Bruce Walker from the Office of Sustainable Development are here to describe the rate process in more depth.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Good morning. I'm Susan Anderson, Director of the Office of Sustainable Development. We're here, as Dan said, to present information on both garbage rates and recycling rates. There's three components to our rate study each year. We contract with a CPA firm to review the residential hauler reports. We contract with the Portland State University to study can weights and actually what's in the waste, so that's a fun job. And we contract with a consulting economist to do the analysis and run the rate model. The model includes factors such as fuel costs, labor, disposal charges, and then that's offset by the recycled materials that are sold. So we basically add up all the costs of services and then subtract out what the haulers make when they sell the recycled paper, metal, and glass. The result this year is an increase of $3.60 for the most common service. The most common size is a 32-gallon can with weekly collection. This will increase rates from $20.85 to $24.45 a month. We realize this is a sizable increase, and it's caused by two main factors. The first is the cost of the new roll carts, which many homes are already receiving this month in May. That will continue through June and July, and which are needed in order to boost recycling rates to 75% as directed by council. The second factor is the hefty increase in fuel costs over the past year and those that are presumed to happen in the coming year, and to some extent labor. If we go back in time, however, we find out that garbage and recycling service and costs are well below the rate of inflation. In 1992, a 32-gallon can was $17.50 a month. If that rate had kept pace with inflation using the Portland CPI, the rate would now be $27.86. Our proposed rate is $24.45. Our system of having private haulers is a very efficient system, and the competition to kind of keep the rate low and beat the rate is one that has been able to keep the rate low for many, many years. Most utility services, electricity, natural gas, water, and sewer have all increased more than the CPI during that same time, and I really feel that garbage and recycling is still a very good deal here in Portland. In the future, we will continue to see rates go up probably a dollar or more a year because of the cost of fuel. Picking up the garbage is a very fuel-intensive business. It's important to understand that also not all customers will see a price increase. Customers have the ability to control their garbage costs. They can downsize their garbage can. So they can go from a 32-gallon can down to a mini can like I have, or a 60-gallon cart down to a 32-gallon can. OSD has already begun a marketing campaign to encourage downsizing. We are certain that many Portland residents will be able to make this shift over the coming year. During the pilot phase of this program last summer, we had 2,000 families in the pilot. They were able to increase their recycling by, on average, 25%, and many families increased their recycling by as much as 50%. Many people found that they didn't have much in their garbage anymore and that they could go to a smaller can. Every home will receive information on how to increase recycling and how to downsize. They'll receive information in the roll cart when they get it, again with the curbside newsletter, again in their billing statements from each of the hauler, and we have dozens and dozens of outreach efforts over the next few months. So that's the rate report, and thank you, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you, folks. Anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
We have two people signed up, David White and Andy Seaton.
Is please come forward. State your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Dave White. I am regional representative for the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. One of my responsibilities is to lead the Tri-County Council, which represents the 23 Portland residential haulers, most of whom, by the way, are ORA members, on matters such as franchise renewal, administrative rule development, and annual rate review. We elect our governmental officials to make important decisions and establish visionary policies that benefit our communities now and in the future. You did that about a year ago when this council made a decision that started the city on the path that has led to the matter before you today. A year ago, as part of the Portland Recycles Plan, you established an aggressive recycling goal of 75% by 2015. In addition, you supported the use of more expensive biodiesel, B20, retrofitting and purchasing trucks that reduce diesel emissions, and the collection of recyclable materials and yard debris in roll carts. You sent a clear message that this council supports efficient and effective programs that clean up the environment and make good use of our natural resources. You also told all of us, residents, businesses, and Portland haulers, that you expect us to step up and help the city meet these progressive and aggressive goals. A few weeks ago, you passed the commercial section of the Portland Recycles Plan. That vote reaffirmed the council's commitment to the 75% recycling goal and sustainable collection operations. In addition, council increased the commercial tonnage fee $2 to pay for increased OSD staff to perform education, outreach, and program oversight. Today is the next step down that path that you started a year ago. I recall Commissioner Saltzman at a media event outside City Hall touting the benefits of roll carts for recycling and yard debris that would be distributed to residential customers. And at that time, the estimated cost of implementing the program was about $2.60. It's a year later, and many customers have received those new carts, and the remaining customers will receive them in the near future. The rate increase before you today is substantial. There is no doubt about it, but it should not really come as a surprise. A year ago, as I said, a city staff predicted that the cart program would cost $2.60. Unfortunately, cart prices, fuel, and other costs have increased, and so has the cost of implementing that program. But even without the implementation of the cart program, increases in fuel, price of fuel, the metro tip fee, health care, and wages have driven up the cost of providing garbage recycling and yard debris service. These are true costs that the Portland haulers are experiencing in order to meet the city's goals and provide residents with one of the best programs in the nation. Your Portland haulers are committed to providing excellent service while working with OSD to look for ways to increase our efficiency, contain our costs, and meet our recycling goal. We ask for your support in approving the rates that are before you today. And, of course, I'd be glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
Andy Seaton, I live in Portland, and I'm representing myself today. Looking through this, the one thing that I found rather odd was the rates across the board for the same size roll cart versus can. Now, the roll cart costs more, which seems to be a disincentive for folks to switch to it. And I know that the roll cart, Randy, set that on stun.
About that.
It seems to provide a disincentive for folks to switch to it. And I know that the roll carts are specifically designed to make it easier on the haulers to use automated lifts and that sort of thing. And I like the idea of decreasing the amount of size on your can. If you're doing a lot more recycling, which I try to do as much as I can. You can decrease the size from a 32-gallon can to a 20-gallon can, but there's only one step down that you can go before you bottom out on the rate schedule. Being a wonderfully green place as Portland tends to be, there might be a good opportunity to add other options there. Or it's also your only options are weekly and monthly, and if there's no option for a biweekly or an on, there doesn't seem to be much of an option here for on call, although there is one I guess here at for $7.40 per pickup. And also looking at these things here, there's no way to get a roll cart at smaller than 32 gallons, You have to switch back to a can if you want to get a smaller trash can. And when you switch to the can, you also have to worry about the non-curb surcharges and excess distance, which I guess which aren't required here for the roll carts, which makes some sense seeing as how they're easier to move. And I'm also rather curious as to whether or not it would be possible to have options for buying a roll cart from your friendly neighborhood Home Depot or the like, or even from the city, if you wanted to rather than having the city provide it. So these are all just some general questions here that I've been able to look at. And I certainly support the concept of this is the sort of thing that the city will provide to your average citizen, but keep in mind that not everybody has the opportunity to have a house with a 32-gallon roll can or regular can or whatever. There's one of your big complaints about the homeless situation here in town is the mess and trash and all of that is generated. So it would be nice to be able to use this service for some of the folks in town here. Thank you.
Is that it?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. This is a non-emergency, moves to a second reading. Please read item 659.
Authorize the rates and charges for the water and water-related services during the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2008 to June 30, 2009, and fix an effective date.
Mayor Potter?
Yes.
Although you tried to signal me last time, this came up. I didn't realize that the Water Bureau wasn't prepared last week to testify to this, and they are this week, although it's a second reading. So, thank you.
Mayor Potter, members of the council, I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau, and with me is Dave Hassan, the director of our finance department. I know you're a little behind, so I will try and go through this quickly. I won't read every single bullet, touch every single bullet that we have in our presentation to you, but I will try and hit the highlights. And I have a couple of comments in response to the PERB testimony that you heard as well. As you know, our budget, proposed budget is $129 million. Of that, $70 million, or almost 71, is for operating expenses, and $59 million of that is capital. Our revenue is $101 million. Of that, 76.6 is from our retail customers. 16 million comes from our 19 wholesale customers. Customer late charges will account for about 1.7 million, and other charges like SDCs, chargeable work, etc., accounts for approximately 6.8 million. That will fund 655 full-time and 6 1/4 part-time employees in the bureau. If you turn to the next page, our average effective retail rate increase is 8.6%, and that includes 2% savings account for LT2 that you heard mentioned by the PERB. It does fund an LT2 decision package of $1.65 million to do both preliminary planning for what we refer to as conventional compliance, if we have to treat our Bull Run water, if we have to cover, bury, or take out of service our open reservoirs, and it also covers the costs of applying for a variance under the Safe Drinking Water Act to the EPA. Our retail rates continue to provide a fixed low-income discount program for single-family residential customers at 40%. Our system development charges have decreased by 1.5%. We still have one of the lowest system development charges in the region. If you turn the page, we look at typical bills. Our typical residential monthly bill will increase by $1.32, and we use 700 cubic feet as a typical residential bill these days. A low-income residential monthly bill, which is generally around 500 cubic feet, increases by about 55 cents a month. Our medium commercial customers, 200 cubic feet, increases about $41.57, and our large commercial bill increases, the very large users of the Portland water system,